Praise his wonderful name. Glory unto Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love. Thank you, Lord, for our hope in thee. Glory unto God forever. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding, O God. Thank you, Lord, for thy great salvation. Blessed be your name forever. For opening our eyes and our ears and our understanding, O God, making us to know thy way. Speed thy coming, O God, and deliver your people. Redeem the purchased possession, O God. Deliver us from the powers of this world. Give us power over the enemy while we're here in your name. Blessed be your name forever. Teach us thy word, O God. Open our heart and our understanding, for thou art our help and thou art our strength. Blessed be your name forever. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalm 18. I think I have a verse or two here I might give it if I can get a hold of it here. I would like to No, this is someplace else, so I'll give it to you later. All right, Psalm 18 and verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle, thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. David cries, you and me, and everybody else, those are our hope. That's our foundation. There's our strength. That's our prayer. And that's our promise. God will do that for those that love him. Thou hast also given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not, because they have gone away backward from him, and they are the enemies of God. And I gave you the last thing I gave you, was Malachi 4:3, to show you that in the very end of time, the righteous shall tread down the wicked under their feet. Not that we will be exultantly walking around tromping them with vengeance in our heart. We won't be doing that. God will simply mean he'll put everything under your feet, just like he told him when he made Adam. He put all things under his feet, gave him dominion. But the wicked has sought to take dominion. The devil has sought to take dominion. Lucifer thought that he would take the dominion. But that was for God's sons. And that's what it's telling us, that all the sons of God, eventually, all these things will be removed and all our enemies will be gone, and there will be no more sighing, no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, no more testing and trial, but only a wonderful eternity with God as sons of God. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Now you see, that's for all men when he comes into his possession. And it was for David for a season of 40 years, and for Solomon for 40 years, when they actually did rule over the heathen round about and had this, you know. But that thing fell through because that was not the real intent and purpose and purport of this prophecy, the real prophecy. But we see Jesus. We see not yet all things put under him, Adam. We see not yet all things put under him, David. We see not yet all things put under him, Solomon, but we see Jesus. And we see not yet all things put under him, but sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting until God shall make our enemies our footstool, we see it coming. We know it will be so. We know Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and eventually he's going to destroy the devil himself. And God will take unto himself his people. That's the import of this here. It begins clear back there, and it reaches clear to the end. And it's a promise. It's a covenant. It's a prophecy that God will fulfill that which he intended to do. I will work, and none shall hinder. None shall let it, the scripture says. I mean, nobody can stop God from doing what he started out to do. But we can miss God's way and be cast out of his kingdom, or we can find his way, keep ourselves in his way, and find ourselves in the kingdom of God. There's only two ways. One is in the kingdom and the other's outside. One is on the right hand, the other's on the left hand in the kingdom in that day, or at the time that he judges the people for his kingdom. So this verse 43 is a messianic psalm, prophecy also. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Christ has been made the head of the heathen. Time will come when all nations shall bow to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, if he were not God the Father, it would not be to the glory of God the Father, it would be to the glory of God the Son. But there is no such thing as God the Son separate from God the Father, because he is God the Father. Therefore, it will be to the glory of God the Father when he, the same Jesus, the Son of God, is manifested to all the world as Lord. That will be to the glory of God the Father. There will be no opposition to God. There will be nobody taking the glory away from God. There will be nobody like Absalom trying to take it away from David. That's not what Jesus is doing, trying to take the kingdom away from the Father or taking the place of glory. But he is the Father. He is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, because God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And in that day, everyone will confess. Everything will confess. Even every creed, thing in all creation will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because you'll know him as your Father. Because he said that to him that overcometh, I will give. He shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. And that was the Lord Jesus saying that in the book of Revelation. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. You might look at Psalm 2, 8 and 9. Daniel 7, 27. Isaiah 60, 3 and 51, 5. Revelation 2, 27. Well, there are others here. I don't know how many I should give you. Now, keep your notes. Some of the things that I say here, try to get them down so that you can read them. Sometimes when I look at some of your notes, I'm sure that you have trouble with them too. And they're not quite full enough. You'll forget about it. But after class, before you forget what you've heard, I want you to listen carefully, because if you get it in your heart and mind, it's better than get it in your book if you don't catch it in your mind. If you don't get it in your mind, you won't have it. But if you get it in your mind, then after class, then go over these things and make up your notes. Enlarge upon your notes. Fill them out more so that you will have something when you, after you've kind of forgotten, you can look back and pick it up again. Pick it up again. Because we just don't have time to dwell on these long enough to go through with you every bit of it for you and with you. So please be careful of your notes. The stranger shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. Revelation 6, 15 and 16, with Hosea 10, 8, Luke 23, 30. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Now that rock is Christ. The God of your salvation is Christ. And the Lord, he also is Christ. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And Jesus, they said, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. If I then am your Lord and Master, why don't you do the things that I say? He is the Lord. The angel declared it when Jesus was born. He was born into you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. Not only the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of the Lord, but he is the Lord. And he is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven. Paul said, Peter said, you have crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord of the Shekinah glory. The Lord of the that glory of the Lord. It is God that avengeth me. Acts 2:34-36. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. Just look at that for a moment with you there to show you what you're getting there. Acts 2:34-36. Let's just look at it for a second. These are all very necessary. If you don't, go ahead and read them, because I don't have time to go into them with them. I'd love to, but we'd be a month on some of these chapters if we did. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. That is, God and the Son of God, the anointed of God. Now, Jesus asked him a question one time when they were before him. He said, who is this Son of David? Just who is this Son of David? And they couldn't tell him. And he said, David. Some said, well, the Son of David. Son of David. He said, if he is the Son of David, how then did David call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David called him Lord, how is he then his son? And they couldn't answer him. But when you get through looking in enough scriptures here, you could answer him. Because God has made the same Jesus both Lord and Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. He is the Lord from heaven. He is the Savior of the world. And there is but one God, and he, beside him there is no Savior. See, Isaiah. As you see, it's here a little and there a little. Oh, it's so confusing. Sure it is. He made it that way, purposely, that they might go backward and be snared and be taken. But you can know it. You can see it. You can understand it and rejoice in it. But God has revealed it unto even babes in Christ, because they're his. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. And that violent man, that man of sin, the son of perdition, did you hear that? He delivered me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. When he said, thou hast delivered me, it means it's already done. God promised, has said so, it has to be so. So when he comes, it will be done. To those of you who are putting your trust in him and know that he is your God and are walking in his ways, you're counted worthy to escape clean away from all these things. He has delivered you. Just like by his stripes we are healed. See? But you must attain unto it. You must attain unto it. It's not just automatic for everybody, but to those for whom it was said. Therefore he had delivered me from the violent man. That's man of sin, the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Why among the heathen? Because we are witnesses unto the heathen. We are a light unto the heathen. Thou art my witnesses, saith the Lord, unto all Israel. That's what he called them for. That's what he gave them the light for. That's what he gave them the lamp for. And his word is a lamp. And he has given us of his spirit to enlighten us, and himself dwelling in us for the light. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed. Now you see, there's two there. Yet Jesus will be his king. But it says, great deliverance giveth he to his king, that is David, and showeth mercy to his anointed. Now David wasn't anointed, but there's another one involved there. That anointed one is the Christ, the Messiah. You see how he makes them two? To David, but not only to David, the king, but to his seed, the anointed. You see how those two parallel one another? You've got two persons in view there. You've got David the type as the king and named David, and his anointed, God's anointed, Messiah, the seed of David, to his seed forevermore. But not only to him, to Christ, but all of those who are in Christ. 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. That has never... Now, the heavens have always been a great mystery to people, but they've also been a great revelation to people. God has used them way back in time past to reveal unto his people many things. And he used them to illustrate, show Abraham. Look now unto the heavens and count the stars thereof, if you can count them. Because that's how I'm going to make thy seed as the stars of heaven for multitude, and as the sand of the sea. See, Abraham has two seeds. One is the star seed, the other is the sand seed. One is the spiritual seed in Christ. The other is the natural seed on the earth. And he worked with both of them. But one was a type and a figure of the other. But out of this sand seed, he brought forth his star seed. And but they're not the same now. When they become star seeds, they're no longer sand seed. But I mean, he has a natural seed out here, even among the Arabs. Ishmael, Esau. But those are not the ones. It's the star seed that God is really concerned about. But nevertheless, he did bless the others. Nevertheless, he did multiply the others. Nevertheless, he did spread them abroad and made them great and gave them great kingdoms. And as there were 12 sons of Jacob, so was there 12 sons of Esau. And God made them a great people. In fact, how great he made them, you could see the other day in Persia. Great kingdom there. My, did they ever pour out the money there for a little while. But you know, it was God's chosen and the seed of Israel. And not even all of the seed of Israel, but he had chosen it down to the seed of Yes. I was thinking before of Abraham's seed in Ishmael, but not that, but down to Israel, and then the seed of Israel, and then out of the seed of Israel, the elect of God and the chosen ones of God who come unto him, even out of those. So it's continually God's choice. Continually God's choice. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Romans 1:18. Now the firmament is like a great telescope. It just clarifies, magnifies those things out in the heavens. Looking out through here, man looks up there. And the glory of God in all that he has set. The Pleiades, Orion. The Pleiades, you see, speaks of the galaxy in which we live. It's a tremendous thing. Let me see if I can. I think I have something possibly here on that. Let's see if I do. Job 38:31, Amos 5:8, concerning the Pleiades, the sweet influences of the Pleiades, that is the seven stars. Favorable to sailors when they were observable. Original Chaldean, meant a hinge or a pivot.
Right?
Yes. Amos 5:8. Job 38:31. Concerning Pleiades, I'm just digressing just for a second to show you something about the greatness of God's heaven. And God put them there. When he first made them, in Genesis, he tells you that God set the stars and the sun and the moon there for signs, for seasons, for days and for months and for years, for signs also. See? So God uses them for signs. Every once in a while he speaks of them in there. The Pleiades. Just take one example. Chaldeans call it the hinge or pivot. The Alcyone, the brightest of the seven, has been found by astronomers since 1748 to be, apparently by careful calculations, the center of our whole solar system. Solar system. See, that's only a small part of the great universe, but it's just our solar system. Around which our sun and its planets, you see, that's Jupiter and Saturn and the Moon and the Earth and all the rest of them out there, Venus and so on, including the Earth, around which the sun, its planets, including the Earth, revolve. The sun is 3,000 billion miles from Alcyone. Yet the Pleiades swing these planets about it at the rate of 150 million miles a year, requiring thousands of years to complete one orbit. Now that is just a little bit of scientific calculation. And we've learned so much more since 1748. We found out so much about all the intricate mechanism of God's great universe, and still we don't know anything. I mean, really, scientists say that. The more they see, the less they know, seems like. And yet they are learning much more. In the last 200 years, there has so much more. The 100 years, let's say 50 years. So much more has been learned of the greatness of God. You'll notice that when these scientists get up out there, they begin to think considerably about God, and I'm glad that out of our own nation we had men who went out there and found out it paid to recognize God while they were out there. Amen. They really felt that. I'm sure they did, even those who didn't acknowledge it. But a few of them had the bravery to acknowledge it to the world. But that they haven't seen anything yet. They've only been out there just a little ways. See? But the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Every day we learn more. Every day we find out something more excitingly wonderful about the great expanse and the greatness of those great things out there. There are stars out there that are so tremendously big, and that it's unbelievable even to the scientists. They say themselves they can't believe it. They just don't see how anything could be that big. But it is also made up of such heavy stuff, some of it, that one cubic inch of it laid on this earth would go right down through the earth. Weighs so much. You could put it in your pocket, but it wouldn't stay there. I mean, if you could lift it. But it's so heavy. The whole world couldn't budge the thing. See? Tremendous. Tremendous. Oh, how could it be? Don't ask me, I don't know. But day unto day utter speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. Every day that today can tell yesterday some things it did not know. Day unto day utter speech. They talk to one another. They show yesterday what they didn't know. Night after night they find something more to tell last night what they didn't know. And we're getting the information. We're getting part of that information. We're using a lot of the information. That's the only reason that our wheels and our rings are so high. It's because we are being able to use a lot of those things now, all from the very this earth clear out and reaching clear into the heavens. And we begin to understand something more about God's eternal greatness, more than ever before, to those. Let's look at Romans 1, 18 to 20. The Apostle Paul, by his revelation, begins to pick up some of these things himself. A wonderful thing that he wasn't even allowed to show. Why, you know, we might have known more about some of these things if Paul had told us all that he saw and heard out there. But he said, unlawful to utter, because God's time was not yet for people to know those things. But it's very possible we are beginning to see some of those things nowadays. Paul is speaking about the gospel. In verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And to the Greek, it doesn't mean just the Greek, it means all heathen. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, from faith to faith, not all at once, but for day after day and night unto night. The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It has been from the beginning, when God poured out his hail upon them in Egypt, when God caused the river to turn to blood in Egypt, when God called the waters to roll back on the Red Sea and the waters to roll back in the Jordan, and when God sent great hailstones and destroyed their enemies, when God sent an angel into the camp at night and called that great Assyrian army to be suddenly wiped out. When God called darkness so thick that they could feel it in the land of Egypt, and yet there was light in the land of Goshen. Many such like things God had manifested from the beginning. When Jesus came, storm about to swallow them up, we perish. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Peace, be still. Look at that. Just like I had a vision one time. I saw the same thing. Great waves of the ocean, big as mountains, just coming right toward me. See, coming right toward me. I said, that's the word of God. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. As soon as I said that, everything came just like sea, like glass. Just as smooth. And whereas I was struggling about to drown, now I could swim like a duck. No problem, no fear, no nothing. You see? Deuteronomy 32:15-26. Is that 18th verse? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men. And if you don't know it now, by the time the seven seals are loosed, you'll know it. The whole world will know it. Everything in the sea will know it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. John 1:1-9. Romans 10:18. For the invisible things of him, the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen under a microscope or radio telescope or something else. The invisible things. What's he talking about? A few years ago, we wouldn't even know what he was talking about. We've seen lots of invisible things now. He's talking about the atoms, the protons, the neutrons, the electrons, of which everything is made and created, and by which they work, and having in them all their condition, which causes them to form in certain absolute patterns that bring forth an absolute different looking thing with different manifestations. Everything in the world. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead are manifest, so that they are without excuse. Scientists, many of them have become Christians by what they looked at, but others in their wild imagination thought that man was doing all this. He was just finding out something that nature had done. They can't get any further than nature. They don't know that God made all nature and that all the positive laws of nature and of the whole universe are God's laws set in motion and order, and man is just absolutely bound by them. They know all that, and yet they don't believe on God. But listen to him. Why, he says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they did know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, and even declaring that they themselves are gods, and that everything's in your mind, and God is nothing more than man's pure thought. All that sort of stuff and junk. Tom.
Verse 20 of Romans.
All right, and with it, Colossians 1:17. All things made by him and for him, without him and not anything made that was made. Whether they be principalities or powers, things in heaven or in the earth or under the earth, all things made by him and for him. And by him, all things consist or hold together. See? Those atoms, that attraction of atoms one for another in certain decided patterns to form certain things. All right. Let's get out of the science class and get back to Psalms. And The heaven declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth for His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. I can give you a few more on that if you want them. Isaiah 28:26-29, Psalm 16:7, Nehemiah 9:20, Habakkuk 2:14, Luke 1:77, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Well, I've got nothing, but I can't read my own writing. But, all right. But notice, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I mean, these things have been manifest, and God, when He caused the wise men to see the stars, and when He set the cross over Jerusalem at the time of the birth, you know how long it would be before that cross could ever be back there again according to all the laws of motion of the universe right now, our own galaxy even, before that would be there again? 25,000 years. Which means there never was there before in all the history of man, because man isn't 25,000 years old. It never was there before. It'll never be there again, because time will run out in those things. The stars of heaven will fall. All these things will be changed. So only once in the history of the world was that southern cross directly over Jerusalem, and that was when Jesus was born. Only once was this condition of the star that was the speaker, the branch, on the breast of the virgin, so that they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Only once in many years, many thousands of years, would that take place according to God's laws as He set them in the heavens for signs. You see, there are many things if men could know them and see them and understand. So there were wise men. There were men who knew many things, and they knew a whole lot more than a lot of people think they did back there, navigationally and otherwise. They built those great pyramids back there, and the Book of Enoch, which the Egyptians have, says that it was the shepherd kings that built them. It says it was the same people that came down there into Egypt and then spoiled the Egyptians and went up into Palestine. And there's a structure that really has them guessing. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. But then Paul takes that to mean not only that, but you see, the import of the whole thing was not what's about the stars and the moon and those things. It's what men have learned about God from those things. Because all they were just signs that God put out there concerning Himself and all His doings. See, it's not the sun, moon, and star. There's many of them have been and all always have been worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on. They're not to be worshipped. They were only signs that God could use to tell men where they were. Like when they're out in the middle of the ocean and can't know where in the world they are, God gave them signs. It's been the only way in the world that they could ever cross the oceans and get to the places they've got and find their way out of the fog. You see? But it's taught people about God, so that when Paul takes a hold of that thing, their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Now, let's look at Romans 10:18. Paul again using those same things. What's Paul doing with those sort of things? He's not a astrologer. No, he isn't. Astrologers are just those people who... Now, astronomers are perfectly legitimate people. They just simply name the stars and keep track of them and find out some of these things about them for us, see? But an astrologer, they're the ones that go off into worshiping those things and giving them all kinds of credit for all kinds of things and without acknowledging God. There's the difference. So the astrologers and the soothsayers of their kind and so on, that's where they're kind. But God's people see these things, but they get the import. They get the truth. They get the revelation. They know where they are. The rest of them are still lost. They think they're finding their way out, but they're not. They're still in the dark. Romans 10:18. Let's look at, go back to verse 9. In fact, all of that through there, Christ is the end of the law of righteousness and everyone that believes and so on. It goes on down. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word which we preach, that's the gospel, that if thou shalt confess, the 9th verse, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confounded. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the Lord, for the same Lord, over all, there's only one, all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and there's only one name of the Lord that you know, or I know, or anyone else knows, and that's Jesus, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe of him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, that's the gospel, of good things. Isaiah 32:20 also. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Some manifests say by the word of Christ. Some of the better ones. But I say, have they not heard? Have they not heard? Yes, truly, verily, truly, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now you see, both the heavens and the messengers of God, the angels of God, the prophets of God, the word of God, everything that has ever been revealed from heaven to man, and many things have, God manifesting himself and his power among the heathen, all these things. But here he applies it to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their words have gone out to the end of the world. But did they not know back there? They didn't have it? Yes, the gospel was preached to Abraham, the scripture says. And then it says, now the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. In another place in the New Testament, Paul says. See? So they did have the gospel. God's word, God's prophets, God's revelation, God's manifestation, God's angelic visions, and help and ministration of angels. They had all these things. And the Spirit, and the priests. They had all these things. Have they not heard? Their sound went into all the earth and their words into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Why? Because when you did know, you did not wish to retain God in your knowledge. You did not worship him as God, but you began to worship idols, creatures, all manner of things except God. That's why. It wasn't that they didn't have it. It wasn't that they didn't have the revelation. They had the power from heaven. They had the revelation from heaven. They had the manifestation of God in their midst mightily. But they did not believe it. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me, because God in his mercy had just sent out his gospel to them, that they might have it. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hand unto disobedient and gainsaying people. But God is still calling his people unto him. Back to Ezekiel. Back to Psalm 19. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. There's a play upon words again there. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. What is the tabernacle of the sun? We are told that we are God's house, we are God's building. He dwells in you. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You see, we are his tabernacle. We are that temporary dwelling place, holy place, where God dwells and where he has put his name. Upon all the Gentiles, even, upon whom my name is called. One family in heaven, by one name. The Son of God. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. He's running a race. He ran the race and he won the race. Paul ran the race and has won the race. Fought a good fight and kept the faith. Finished his course. Henceforth, crown of glory. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, one end of heaven to the other, his circuit, unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. That word heat is an unusual word there. It means impact, from the impact or influence of it, throughout the whole land. The gospel of Christ. Ezekiel 3:14 and 3:14 something there that I could tell you if I wanted to take another half hour to do it, but I can't do it. That heat there is very different. It's just as different as the heat when David was old and about to die. He had no spirit left in him. He was cold and had no heat. But that word heat is just, it's from the same root word, but it's just a little bit different. He had no heat, so they put covers on him. They put covers on him, but he got no heat. You see, they were trying to give David heat, but it wasn't that kind of heat that David needed. David didn't need heat from the outside. He needed heat on the inside. It was a different heat. So they brought the Shunammite, made her his wife, put her in bed beside him. Now, he didn't get heat just from that young woman. If they'd wanted him to get heat, they'd have picked out a fat widow of about 50 years old that was already having heat problems herself, shoved her in the bed, and she'd have heated the whole bed up. But that wasn't what it wanted. There was a different kind of heat there. There was something that brought heat in David from the inside. When she began to minister to David, and now David never touched her sexually. Don't get any false ideas. But the very fact of this virgin, the bride of Christ, brought nigh unto him in his old age, that is, the Ancient of Days, Revelation, brought nigh unto him and telling him how much not only she loved him, but how the people loved him and how they needed him and all of that, gave him new life from within. That's what God meant back in Genesis when he said God rested and was refreshed. One of these days, when that seventh day is finished, God's going to rest from all his work. He ceases from all his work because it's all done. Now it's all complete. It's all finished. And he'll be refreshed. In other words, he'll have what he started out to make. And the joy of the Lord in having his children, his bride, his people, as a faithful wife and a bride and a sweet virgin unto him. You know, it's figurative, but you can see what I'm talking about. That's the revival, and that's the thing that David needed. There was a revival of his spirit within him. A man is so constituted. The Word of God says there's nothing more wonderful than that great power between the man and the maid. Too wonderful for me. One of the things too wonderful for me is the way of a man with a maid. You know that great power that God has put to make you to love your wife and your husband, cause you to leave your father and your mother and go, and they become one flesh. They become one flesh. See? We're going to become one with God one of these days. And when we do, now that's what the whole matter is about. And this heat here is that kind of heat. It's different than other kinds of heat. It's different than the other kind of heat from the sun. This is that kind of heat that comes from the Son of God, that puts that heat within you. Not from the outside, but inside out. It's that kind of heat. And this sun that's out in the heaven declaring the glory of God, it's typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with that wonderful Spirit of God that just causes that Spirit to bring forth in you love for him and a desire for holiness, cause you to hate iniquity and love righteousness and be happy to walk in God's ways, glad to do his will. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. And that's tremendous impact. There's nothing hid from the heat of that. That gospel that goes out. It's not even hidden from the ungodly. But they resist it. They resist it. They resist it. You see, you can put up a shade between you and the sun. You won't get the heat of the sun either. Man can put up a resistance to God so that he won't feel the impact. But the impact is nevertheless there, or else you wouldn't put up the guard, you see. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Not in man that liveth. He just can't do it. But walking in his word, in the light of his lamp, you can walk perfect before God, be found worthy. Who can understand his errors? And cleanse thou me, not man, no man himself, no man can. Solomon says, what man is there that sinneth not? Scripture said there's none. They've all sinned. That's the reason God had to give his only begotten Son. That's why Jesus was manifested in the earth as a son of Adam and a son of man, son of God. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Job 42:3. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Man becomes so presumptuous. He thinks he knows so much. He thinks that he can answer back against God. He can presume that he knows what he's doing and he make his own way to salvation, all that sort of thing. He exalts himself against God. He doesn't need God. He's getting along all right. Besides that, he doesn't believe all this stuff. I've got my own religion. I've got my own thing. Well, I know what I believe. I hear that every day. I hear that every day. Well, I know what I believe. See? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression is unbelief. That's the only reason they fell in the wilderness, wasn't it? Because of their unbelief. That's all. It wasn't because they did this or that or the other or committed some sin. God takes care of those. It's just because of unbelief. Amen. They won't go on with God and believe God. They just won't believe it. Unbelief. Habakkuk 2:4. Mark 16:16. He that believeth not shall be damned also. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That word strength is rock. Pardon? Yes. My strong rock, my sharp rock, my Christ, my Redeemer. T-S-U-R. All right, our time is up.